Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn our Bibles this evening to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Get us started tonight. We're going to read just a few verses to kind of go back. We got to go back, kind of keep get right back into the story a lot. You know, when we have these stories, this continuing saga, we have to kind of refresh ourselves a little bit. Nehemiah chapter 2, and in verse 17, the Bible says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." For they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Then I answered them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." All right, let's pray together this evening. Father, we're thankful to be here tonight. And Lord, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, thankful for this church that you've placed us in and made us to be a part of it. And Lord, you've set us here in particular and really just melded us together. And Lord, I pray tonight you would stir our hearts, Lord, as we look into your word. Lord, we might be encouraged. Lord, we might see those things that your servants have been dealing with throughout all history. Lord, we'll thank you for it tonight now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So the British author Thomas Carlyle called ridicule the language of the devil. You know, some people who can stand bravely when they're shot at will collapse when they're laughed at. Shakespeare called ridicule paper bullets of the brain. But those bullets have slain many a warrior. Ridicule is tough. Wednesday night, Brother Eddie spoke of David and Goliath. Y'all remember that a few days ago, right? We remember hearing of Goliath ridiculing David as he approached him, as approaching this young man, he began to call him names and ridicule him. And how can they even do this? We've been talking about Jesus being mocked and ridiculed by the soldiers, by the Jews, and by the common man while he hung on the cross. When the enemy laughs, when the enemy laughs at what God's people are doing, it's a pretty good sign that God's going to bless his people in a pretty mighty way. God, listen, God wants to get the glory. And when the enemy of God laughs at God's servants trying to serve God, God wants to bless that and get the glory. Now, I'm not saying we ought to go get people to laugh at us, you know, but when what we're doing brings this kind of thing, we find here as God's people attempted to go forward to rise up and build, that the enemy laughed them to scorn and despised them. But they went on to build the wall anyway. Almost all the people had a part in it or a portion in the building of it. So, number one is this. Building the work of God has resistance. Some of you are like, I didn't know that. Right? Nobody was thinking that tonight. This is not going to be, nobody's sitting here tonight, I thought it was all going to be sweet and easy once we got saved. You haven't been saved very long if you think that. But there's resistance, and I want us to see what we find here, how it works, what's going on in the heart. Sometimes, can I tell you what, folks, sometimes we can inadvertently be part of the resistance. We've got to be cautious on that thing. Look at chapter 4 now. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 3 talks about all the builders of the wall. We dealt with that last time. Here we are in chapter 4, verse 1. It said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. So, it's this. It starts with anger, right? Being mad, right? Being mad that the work would go forward without their approval. Some people want to be the arbitrators of what can and cannot be done for the Lord, right? They'll have the idea. They were angry because these people were part of it. We're going to find out later. They were really connected in here, not because they had a desire to serve God. They were connected by relationship. You know, sometimes we have what are called family churches, ran by families, and the whole family does this and everything. You're like, isn't that kind of what? No. Now, by the way, families ought to be in churches together, right? But what it becomes is the power in the church is in the family. That's not so. We're going to find some of these guys. That was what their issue was. We'll find that towards the end of Nehemiah. But they wanted to control what was being done. Matter of fact, they liked the way, we talked about this already, they liked the way it was already. They liked the fact that the Jews in the nation of Israel was vulnerable and had no security of their own, but kind of relied on other security. And so they were mad that the work would go on without their approval and against their wishes. But that anger turns to indignation. The word indignation, it's an interesting word. It's a word that actually means to be grieved. It means to be vexed, or inflicted. Really kind of this indignation really means, it means to be inflicted with sorrow is actually the meaning of that word, of indignation. Imagine being so angry about the work someone else is doing that it would actually bring you to sickness or a sorrow of heart. So upset about what somebody else is doing for the Lord that it would make you physically and spiritually and of heart, maybe emotionally, we would say, angry and upset. Can you imagine? Can I say, you ever felt like that? You ever seen somebody felt? I mean, you've seen somebody, not been yourself, but the other person, you've seen somebody so upset. You ever caught yourself being really upset about something and then you realize, man, I'm being ridiculous, right? Just me? Okay. I'm like that weekly. And so we can find ourselves getting in this thing. I'm saying this is where they found them. Of course, I don't want to think we're here what they were, Sanballat, some of these people were, but something was going on there. So the anger turned to indignation, but then it turned to mocking. Mocking is the attempt to penetrate the heart and the mind where there's no place or resource of truth to deter them. It might be somebody like that. Now, you shouldn't do that. You should not do that thing. Why not? Because it's stupid. You're dumb and you're never going to be able to do it. And they start mocking and laugh. Ha! You think you're not going to ever be able to follow God like that. Anyway, well, what am I doing that's wrong? Well, it's just, you know, and they... anger, indignation, and now it's to mocking. It's a way to try to penetrate the heart by laughing and bring them into derision and so forth. They cannot affect their progress through power authority or truth of Scripture. So they attempted to mock, ridicule, and discourage the process. You ever been bullied? You ever been bullied, maybe in school or by your kids? Right? You're going to get there one. No, maybe you're already there. And so, you know, I was bullied when I was a kid. I had to walk home from school. I was in elementary school. And I had this older kid. He would just, it was about a mile. Later on I measured it. It was a mile uphill both ways. It was, actually. You went uphill, went down. So both ways it was uphill. And it was in Iowa. So it was in the snow. Uphill both ways. Anyway, some of y'all don't get it. And so this kid, the whole way home, he would just, and I think I've said this before, I think here maybe, but I would find there's a couple different ways. I'd try to find ways, and he would find me. It's like that was his going home entertainment, was just to, and mostly he was just pestering me, ridiculing me, and mocking me. And I'm telling you, it was so disheartening. How disheartening was it? I would try to find a long way to go home just because I didn't want that. But he was bigger than me, and he was faster than me, he was probably a lot smarter than me. And he would find me, and I would hide. I'm like, oh, man, it was just miserable. Mocking is tough. To be ridiculed and mocked, and it's affected my whole life. No, I'm kidding. But at that time, it was, he never hurt me bad. It just, man, you know, a lot of times this mocking and ridicule in this sense of the work of the Lord is to stop us from doing what we're doing. So here's how ridicule works. An attempt to discourage and defeat with words the language of the devil. Look here in verse 2. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. You know what they're saying? They're saying this. You can't do it. Why even try? I have this saying, I say it's a joke, but I say, hey, listen, when life gets tough, quit. That's what mocking and ridicule does. It says, it's too hard. Why even try? You can't do it. And then it's, even if you did do it, it'll be terribly done work. It'll be worthless. Here's what they're trying to say. You can't do it. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to have someone towering over you. These people that they already had some authority in the land. I want you to understand that they had some authority of some sort. We find this among, they were probably heads over some of their areas, and now they not that they had authority over Israel, over Jerusalem, but they probably had some in that area. And so as they come and they didn't want that to be built up, and so they're mocking it, trying to get it to be stopped. They have no authority, but they, no power, no truth, but they keep pressing in a way of discouragement. But Nehemiah was not one to be discouraged by those that were opposed to Christ. Look at verse 4 now. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. You know, sometimes the hardest thing for us to get through our heads is whether or not we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. That can be tough, folks. you know, does God want me to do this? Right? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I, you know, you ever question that in your life? Yeah. I mean, if you've ever done anything for the Lord, right? Is this, you know, the naysayers will, they can cause us to begin to doubt ourselves. Like, I think we should do this. And then somebody says, you can't do this. What do you think you're doing? You're like, maybe I shouldn't do it. Right? They get us to doubt ourselves. And I can't do it. To question ourselves. To even then cause us to think that we're wrong. It's a tough, tough situation. So how can we settle this thing? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Well, there's a couple questions we can ask ourselves. First, ask a question like this. Can you ask God to bless what you're doing? Right? Somebody says, you know, I am now going to serve the Lord in this thing. I'm going to get a new job. Right? You say something like this. I'm going to get me a new job. It's going to be a better job and more thing. Now, I'm not going to be able to be in church anymore. I'm not going to be able to be in church regularly. But this is the job God's given me. Can you say, Lord, would you bless what I'm doing? I'm not going to be able to be in church anymore, God, but I know this is what you want me to do. Are those two things that would go together? Probably not. Or something like this. God, I know this is what you want me to do. I got to lie a little bit, cheat, steal. I got to peddle alcohol or liquor or whatever. I've got to do some of that. But God, I know that you, this, can I ask God to bless what I'm doing? Well, I can ask God to bless anything. No, you can't. You ask a mist to consume it upon your own lust, is what he says. So first of all, the question, how do I settle? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Can you ask God to bless what you're doing? Second thing, can you see what you are doing has a scriptural basis? Okay? A scriptural purpose. And is it more about serving Him and less about serving me? You're like, now, preacher, you just pretty much got rid of three quarters of what I do in my life. Okay, by the way, I'm talking about something that we're being ridiculed for here, okay? I'm talking about something, you're like, everything, I mean, you know, I'm getting that second donut. I'm not sure I can ask God to bless that. I don't mean that, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if there's something you're being ridiculed for, there's something you're kind of being stopped, there's something you're being resisted on, is it something that you would say, okay, God, maybe it's God trying to, like, divert me. How do I know? Well, can I ask God to bless what I'm doing? Can I ask God to bless it? Can I ask God to seek this thing? Is it something I'm doing is what God wants me? So we kind of, so when that's the case, we say, yeah, God, this is something that you want me to do. There's a scriptural basis for this. Then, right, in the face of that ridicule and all that, we can get to the work, despise the resistance. See, because resistance is hard. Amen? Resistance is hard. Your family. I don't think you should even be doing that. Well, okay, can I do that? And once I do, now I know, listen, this is what God wants. I'm going to take the resistance. I'm going to fight. Look at verse 6 now. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Okay, listen, I want to say a couple things right here, but now it says there in verse 6, it says, all the wall was joined together. Okay, now they had, and it says another word there, another thing, unto the half there. So now the wall is completely around the city. You're like, is it all joined? Is it half there? The half thereof is half. Wherever half is, I don't know, maybe it's 8-10 foot wall, or then 5 foot, or if it's a 6 foot wall, it's 3 foot. Half of it, it's all joined together, because you build a wall from the ground up. You know, you don't build one tall stack and then another tall stack, right? You build it from the ground up. So here it is. It's halfway built up, right? And here it is. It's getting going. And so they built it. And so they built it, and the people had a mind to work. I want us to notice something important here. They didn't pray and then sit and wait for God to remove all the obstacles. You see, it wasn't like, God, we've prayed. God, why didn't you take care of the problem? You ever do that? Yeah. God, I prayed and asked you to take care of the problem. You didn't remove the problem. So you know what they did? They asked God to do this thing. They asked God to listen, God, would you cause what they're doing? Let it come on their own head. And then they said, and then we went to building. You know, when I know this is what God wants me to do, I can press through the resistance. Okay, let me rephrase that. When I know that this is what God wants me to do, it makes it a little bit easier to press through resistance. Resistance is hard, folks. I wish I could say, just man up and get through. I wish I could say it's easy. Resistance, for me, resistance isn't easy. I don't like resistance. I want everything to go my way all the time, right? But that's not reality, is it? So we have to know these things. It's what God wants me to know. That they prayed, then they trusted the Lord, and they went forward in service to Him. Sometimes God does move the obstacles out right away. Praise the Lord for that. Sometimes He does. He removes the enemy. Sometimes He moves it right out of the way. And thankful for that. Other times we must go forward by faith with those. Look at verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. See what happened? Before, they were trying to use mockery and deceit. You can't do this. You're not even going to be able to do it. Man, you know, you gotta, even if you did build it up, a fox will go up and knock it down. Ridicule, I want to say this again, ridicule is the language of the devil. You know, even the people themselves didn't really believe what they were saying. They were using it as a technique. How evil is that? How evil is it? You say, well, I just don't think they're doing things the right way. Man, just then leave them alone. Right? Sometimes we think the greatest thing we can do for the kingdom of God is stop other people from doing bad, the wrong way. I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of Christians spend more time critiquing other Christians that are doing something than doing something themselves. Right? And listen, he said, this, of course, these weren't Christians. I just want to say that there. These were the enemy. And so they were using this tactic to just try to discourage them. But now the walls were built up halfway around the whole city. These enemies had now seen that this thing was not going to be discouraged by mockery. So they conspired to fight against them. This is what these people did there. We can't get it done. We're going to kill some people. That's what they did. I'm glad we kind of got a little more civilized. Amen? A little more. We're kind of going back to these days. Look at verse 9 now. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So pressing on for the Lord in spite of the conflict. Sure, they set up a watch. They set up some security, you know, some security cameras. They put some new locks on the doors and so forth, right? They did so. Hey, preacher, do you think we should have a security system? I don't know. I think they put up a watch. You say, well, that's a good steward. I don't know. I think we can find some precedent to say what we're doing is they've done it before, and God blessed what they're doing. They put up a watch there, and they put up some things. And then after that, they put that up, and they lived happily ever after. Amen. Right? Now, there ain't no happily ever after. Look at verse 10. Now, for the Jews, for the nation of Israel, you know that didn't go that way. Verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Judah. You know, at times, the discouragement, the labor, and the fatigue that get to us. Amen? Like Mondays. Man, Sunday nights, Mondays. It's like, you know, sometimes just the, they get to us at times. And we find Judah here just, it's too much. We're getting tired. There's so much trash we got to deal with. All of this is happening. And it just gets to verse 11. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. The enemy had threatened with a secret attack. He says, you're not even going to know till we come in and we slay you. Then you'll know. So here, they were planning to come and kill them to get the work to stop. That's what the goal was. Stop the progress of the work of God. Look at verse 12 now. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Now, a couple of things I want you to see in this verse 12, because it could be a little bit confusing. It says, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, that dwelt by these people that lived outside of Jerusalem. Remember, there's other Jews that came in to help. So when all these people that lived in other places, it says the Jews that dwelt by them came, right? They came into the city to work, to help build the wall. It says, they said unto us 10 times. Okay, the word 10 times is really, it's a euphemism for saying many times. Okay, over and over and over like that. From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. So those that came from outside of Jerusalem were telling them that the word on the street was that they'd be coming. So in his first inaugural address on March 4th of 1933, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said to a nation in the grip of an economic depression, he said this, the only thing we have to fear is what? Oh, y'all heard that one before. How many knew it was President Franklin Roosevelt said that? Okay, I'm putting my hand down because I didn't. How many knew that? A couple of y'all did? Smarty pants? No. So he said, you know, the only thing to fear is fear itself. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was no resistance to the work of God? What would that be like? Like everything we do, we could just like skip along. And everything we do is just blessing. And the government says, hey, whatever you want to do. You don't need permits. Just do whatever you want to do. And then buildings would fall down on us. No, but I mean, listen, there's no, you know, everyone worked here together on purpose. Instead of having to battle, I'm just saying this kind of situation, what I'm talking about is if there was no resistance, we could all just work together, no resistance. You ever heard of a church that didn't ever have any conflict? We call that the perfect church. So you know what to do. You all know what to do with the perfect church if you find one. Leave it alone. Don't mess it up, right? Yeah, that's it. And so, listen, but if we could just go on without having to battle those that resist the word. Look at verse 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Look, the greatest work of the devil is to get us to be so discouraged that we won't even get into the work. so that we'll get back to our own work, our own lives, our own homes, our own safety. So we think. Right? Right, yeah. Here's the thing. The devil wants to get us to turn our... It's too hard. You're not going to accomplish anything. You've tried it before. You failed. Don't even do it. Just go back to doing your own thing. And many of us go back to... And this is what we find here. This is why they're still doing this. This has been years, decades now that they've been back in the land. And they had went back to their own homes. Nehemiah, I want to remember this. The Lord is great and terrible. He is the one on our side, and we have no need to fear. That's what he's trying to tell them. We don't have anything to fear. Can you imagine trying to get people, there's actually bad people wanting to come kill you and kill your families. And here they are telling them, and Nehemiah is saying, hey, just stay. Don't quit right now. Stay here. Stay in the battle and fight. And, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, there comes time that we'd say, I'm not even sure that it's worth it. This is kind of ridiculous. Pastor, I think we should just back off. It's causing trouble. You see what I'm saying? So Nehemiah told them to stand and fight. What he said there. Verse 15. It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. You see that the secret sneaking in wasn't going to work now. That we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons. You know what I mean when I say habergeon? Y'all know exactly what a habergeon is, if it's that way to pronounce it. It's a shield. That's all that is. And the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Faith in the Lord, not in ourselves, will keep us in the work of the Lord. Let me say that again. Faith in the Lord and not in ourselves will keep us in the work of the Lord. It's too hard. It's going to cost me. I want to quit. Okay, so number two. Like, that was all number one? Yeah, number two is much shorter. We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. Look at verse 18. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Ooh, I love this. So listen, here's what he said. It's a big work. We're spread out. If you hear the trumpet blow, y'all come on over here and help us. Right? Listen, though we may all have different places in this ministry, even different places in our lives, we are the body of Christ and the members in particular. When there's a burden, a problem, listen to what I'm saying to you, folks. Whether it's a death, a sickness, tragedy, or a time of rejoicing, we should gather together in that place around them. That's what we should do. I just don't know. Do they really need me? No. No, they don't need you. Matter of fact, it says in verse 20, in what place thereof you hear the sound of the trumpet? Resort ye thither unto us. What does it say there? Our God shall fight for us. He said, listen, you know what we're doing? When there's a problem, when there's a situation, we ought to, as a body, gather together around that person. But you know what it takes first? The trumpet. The trumpet has to be blown. Hey, listen, I need a little help. You know, we got a problem in our society today, in our culture here today, is I don't want to let anybody know I have a problem. You know what I want to do? I want to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And I don't even wear boots anymore. Right? We want it. I can do it. And I'm just as guilty as the next guy, I'll be honest. You know? But there's times when there's a challenge and there's a problem and somebody has it in their life. And we need to gather around that person. And by the way, when they rejoice, we should gather around together and rejoice. In 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to read this. I've got to print it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 27, it says this, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and the members in particular. So, we're in this thing together. Or at least we should be. Verse 21 now. We're getting to the end here. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save that everyone put them off for washing. I love some of the things they put in the Bible here. So, there must be times in our lives, where our normal life is put aside. I don't say always, or that it's a continual thing, but there must be times when I am willing to step out of my normal, busy, involved life, even to step away from my responsibilities to meet the need of the work of the Lord. I didn't say that should be our everyday life, because we got responsibilities God's given us, right? And those aren't nothing, but there's times that we must need to. What we find here is to step away from me and my life. Well, I'd like to do that, but every Monday night is family night, and so every Monday night we have family night. And so we can't surrender family night one time this year. These folks came. They stayed in the city. Those that were from outside, they stayed in the city, guarding, working, encouraging. I think maybe we'd think this way so much the more as we see the day approaching. Maybe we should be thinking this way more and more and more as we see the coming of the Lord. Nehemiah states here that he didn't even change his clothes regularly, except when they needed to be washed. Why did they add that in there? They stunk? Were they trying to let us know? No, he's trying to say we didn't do the normal thing. He was the governor, right? He was the king-appointed governor of this area. He said, no, even those with me, all of our people, we didn't even change our clothes except when they need to be washed, because we just put off the normal things to do. By the way, wash before you come to church. Unless it's a thing, you have to come straight from work. All right? There's some times that we put off some things. Yeah, I don't want to come to church because I stink. Well, sit by yourself in a corner. Actually, you want to sit by yourself in this church, usually up front. Right? You sit in the back, you're not going to be sitting by yourself. Here's our conclusion tonight. We'll be done. There will be resistance at times, right? That should not stop us from going forward for Christ. Instead, let it be a reminder that we're in this thing together. There will be times when we will need to sacrifice our Saturday, our Friday night, even our family time, to serve and to minister to one another. I can't tell you how many times we got a call. We have plans. We get a call. And it's something, you know, something, you know, to somebody. And sometimes that something to somebody, I'm actually thinking, oh, good night. You know what I mean? But we do that thing. I wish there was more here tonight to hear this, what I'm saying tonight. But who's here tonight is who God has brought here tonight. Say, Pastor, do you ever wish there was the old body was here? Just every service. Just every service. But the Lord knows better than I do. Folks, we're coming to the day of the approaching of our Savior. And all that we're working for in this life, it's going to cease. It's going to be done. That building project you have at home, projects I have at home, it's going to be burned up. So I'm going to quit doing them. No, I'm kidding. My wife's, no, don't. Listen, but there's coming a day when all the things in my life that I'm doing here in this world, it's going to be done. It's going to be over. It's going to cease. Let's be willing to put some things down at times that we might take up the work of the Lord. Okay, so maybe you're saying something like this tonight. You're saying, Pastor, what does that look like? How much should I put down? How much commitment? Listen, I can't say what it looks like for you. I don't want to give you a checklist so I'll check the list. No, listen, I know what it looks like for me. But let's seek, God, what would you have me to, what's in my, maybe right now God isn't putting something in your life like that, but when He does, are we willing to set aside me for the work of the Lord? Let's all